Well, his great uncle from his father's side was Alexander Graham Bell. That's right, the well-known inventor. In a moment, Dr. Fred Bell, our guest on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Fred Bell is the author of many books, most recently a bestseller called Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light. Former NASA scientist, he worked with the late Wernher von Braun. He was a consultant to more than 3,000 high-tech companies before he started Paradyne Today. At the age of 14, he went to work for the government on a project called MKUltra. You've heard about that one. Dr. Bell is a musician, music and film producer, and he believes music and imagery will get the word out quickly. He's right about that. Dr. Fred Bell, back on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Fred, how are you?
Great, George. How are you doing?
Good. Always a pleasure. God, I love what you get into and the work that you do. I tell you, it's fascinating.
Hey, you remember that time you made me play the clarinet?
Yes.
Guess what I've been practicing on for the last year and a half?
Are you going to do a little diddly for us later?
The flute. Now, if we do, I got to build up my nerve for this thing because sometimes I can pick it up and blow into it and get a great sound. Other times, nothing comes out. It took me a year and a half, about a year, to get a sound out of it.
My daughter used to play the flute when she was about 9 years old in school.
Yeah.
She played it for about 2 years, was very good at it.
Wow.
And we couldn't convince her to stay with it.
Ooh, that
must hurt. When she was 11, she said, "That's it, Dad. I don't want to do it anymore." And I'm not the kind of parent to force a kid to do something they don't want to do.
I started in the sixth grade on a clarinet, and I can play that now again, but by that flute. And I used to say to myself, when these people are in the flute session, you know, the section of the flutes, and we did our marching bands, "That's too hard of an instrument to play. I'll never do that." But guess what? It finally got to where I had to do it. But sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Well, that's okay. But later on, when we both get enough nerve, we'll have you pull out the flute.
Yeah.
What have you been doing since the last time we talked with you? I know you were with Ian back about a year ago, and you've been with me. So you've been busy,
well,
I trust?
Yeah, happened. I don't know what happens in my evolution, but, you know that show you did on vegetarianism, I went back to that. I have had no meat in almost 3 years. Pretty much went sober. Just energy level went way up. You know, I just got bored with everything that didn't work for the body, so I wanted to raise the consciousness of my immune system. So what happened was, I socialized a lot. I've got a lot of friends in the government. We'll talk about that later. A lot of my NSA buddies started getting into it. They really saw on this holographic projector thing, they saw what was doing, and they saw my life change. Everything changed. And so what happened was I made some contact with some people, the law firm that that George Bush actually worked in when he was 18 years old as a mailroom clerk. It's called Baker and Botts. So it's Jim Baker's one of the principals. Got involved with them on some projects, and then a friend of mine down here started a company called Wi-Fi Wireless, and we're doing some homeland security stuff. So I got that whole thing going. Well, that brought more government back. But now because I do this bizarre stuff, and I got to tell you a story about a motorcycle and the holograph and how that works later on. It's these guys come and they see, they're very straightforward, and they see this bizarre stuff that I've got around the house. And what's happened is suddenly everybody comes out of the woodwork from everywhere, and it's like I'm back. When I worked for the 3,000 companies, I'm sort of back consulting for a lot of people again and still running Paradyne, which is out of control, and trying to get other books done like that Inside Track. So I don't know where to start. It's just been really bizarre.
Do you invent a lot of stuff?
A lot of stuff. Yeah, a lot of stuff. And I've got patents on stuff, and I've gotten recognition on a lot of it. You know, I was like one of the first, you know, persons to put pyramids on your heads. But now those studies, you know, people wearing them, but then now the studies show that it detoxes the brains. I've had fabulous work with autistic children and in school systems. I'd worked in school systems before. And so what I had to do, because people didn't believe what I was doing, so about a year and a half ago, I got an internet show, which is a BBS radio, and I've been doing an internet show. And I got to give you a tribute right at this point. Now, back in 1984, I had a show, my first air show, 5 days a week, 30 minutes only on KFOX in Long Beach.
Right.
That little old 30-minute show ran me ragged. Now, how you do 4 hours a night with idiots like me repeatedly and people probably straighter than me, I don't know. I mean, you're amazing because you're doing what I call the big show.
Well, you know, Fred, it's a mindset. This is fascinating because I was talking about this in San Diego this weekend at my book signing.
Yeah.
When I was filling in for Art about 100 years ago now, it seems.
Yeah, I know.
I was doing my local show out of St. Louis from 6:30 to midnight. Now, eventually that changed to 9 to midnight, became a normal shift. But from 6:30 to midnight, I was doing my local show. So that was 5.5 hours live, Monday through Friday. And then sometimes 2 or 3 days out of the week, the network would call and say, you got to fill in for Art tonight. Can you do it? So I was on the air sometimes for 9, 10 hours.
Yeah, and what people don't realize is you don't have a life. You don't see your wife. You don't see your kids. You have to put concentration on this. People think, at least they do. I'm talking from my point of view. You know, it's like you're arrogant, you know, because you got to do what you got to do because you got to be on top of every guest that comes, and that takes another several hours a day repetitively.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
It's a hard job. I'll say that.
And I don't see the wife because I don't have one.
Oh, okay. Well,
But I did.
Yeah, I know. Maybe the radio guy made that go away, you know?
You know what? Yeah. That's another story for, you know, we're still dear friends.
Yeah.
Very close friends. But you're right. It is a trial and tribulation.
Yeah.
It takes a very special person to stay married to a person in radio
who
works the kind of hours we work, especially if they don't live the same hour lifestyle that you do.
Yeah, exactly. When this late night stuff, I remember when I worked over at NASA, we were working nights a lot, and that just ruined, you know, absolutely. I was the coffee and cigarette person. I was very young, man. I don't do any of that now, but it just to keep it sanity, you know, to feel my body, I had to drink coffee and smoke a cigarette. You know, this is like when I was 20 years old, but I did it for a couple of years, you know, just to stay alive or feel my body, because you get the night shift is very hard, I think.
I love it, though. I mean, I would not want to work any other
shift. It's in your blood, isn't it?
Yep, it sure is. I wanted to get your views on NASA, first of all.
Never a straight answer.
There was a report.
Okay.
Fascinating you say that, because last week, Richard C. Hoagland pointed something out to me, and it turned out to be a pretty fascinating story.
Right.
Where NASA, there are investigators within NASA looking at NASA and Caltech and JPL claiming that they withheld information from the public. Isn't that fascinating?
Wow. You know?
And I wonder what they held back.
Yeah, about everything. You know, like everything about, you know, they used to have a thing called a NASA tech brief that released a lot of really proprietary information. That went away. And all the stuff that goes on in outer space, and I know you've seen tons and tons and tons of pictures, you know, taken from different space shuttle missions.
Right.
Showing all this stuff, the latest one with orbs and stuff. It's just amazing, you know. That's just the beginning. Then the technology. And NASA, remember, is a front for the secret government that runs out of Area 51, the Barry Goldwater test site, Bentwaters, England, all those underground bases. Oh, my God. I have so much information on underground bases. It's scary.
I am going to throw at you tonight probably 10 different subjects and topics that you've been working on.
Yeah, go do it.
And I mean, they are all fascinating. And I don't want to leave any of them out, but tell me a little bit about your involvement with Wi-Fi and Homeland Security. What's the tie-in there?
Okay, here's the deal. A friend of mine, you know, this Homeland Security thing has been a real problem. A friend of mine invented a system that goes on a ship, and it goes on any ship, on any carton, on any container. Before he brought it to the government, he went all around the country, went to the biggest, you know, container shippers like in China and Japan and all of that, and got all the information where they would put these little devices that are monitored on a ship container that would monitor the temperature changes, if there's any explosive sniffing devices, radiation, everything on a container. Then what happens is we put it on a ship, and there's a transmitter. So every container, there's one transmitter per ship, and then what happens is it transmits the information up to a satellite. So what I ended up doing is helping the government, pitching it over to the DOD and the NSA and saying, look, this thing here could be a spy. You can make a container a spy device. And so I want to encode it in the orange codes, which are the NSA codes, And so when a container comes in, if anybody touches it, explosives, you know, anthrax, chemical sensors,
right,
it comes in, then we got some safety here on our shores. People don't realize, and I've seen, you know, like in the old days, back in my flying saucer days in the Air Force, we used to scramble. Okay, well, now what we do, we have the Coast Guard equivalent of a scramble. We'll get a tip on a ship coming in. The Coast Guard will rip out of the Navy, goes out 100 miles to sea, pulls the ship over like a highway patrol pulls a speeder over, and have to go through the entire ship with a very serious tip. And this happens a lot. You never hear it in the news.
You never do. I bet we're stopping ships in record numbers these days.
Yeah. And the friend of mine that was responsible for this originally worked with a deal called Iridium, which really basically became the internet. So the guy that designed some of this and put the program together became a good friend of mine and one of the users of my hologram systems, which we'll talk about later.
That wasn't Al Gore, was it?
No. But somebody with a little bit more money than Al Gore and a little bit more famous. And I really can't say his name on the air, but because he wants to be incognito. But I guarantee you he's the big player. And so anyway, he put all this together. And so now what happens is we presented it over to Homeland Security and all the local ports. And they're real excited about it. But there's a big process you have to go through. It was election time. You know, the government's closed down right now. So I can just say, if it's okay, I can tell you the name of the company. And it's going to be a hell of a stock. It's called Wi-Fi Wireless. And the stock is WFWL. And that's not insider trading. That's if you go there, you'll see their briefs and news programs. But that's going to be an interesting stock, interesting company to watch.
And it's okay. I'll keep an eye on it because I love to see things like that when people make their predictions or with their insight.
Yeah, and there's a lot more to the technology because you can expand on it. So we're real excited about it. And the people that are involved in this thing are like Jim Baker's on top of it. And, you know, I know George Bush doesn't listen to him very much, it seems like, from what's going on in the news right now. But the bottom line is we're making tremendous progress with this, and nobody else has the system. And I've seen competition out there, especially from General Electric, on similar stuff. And they're not even close to what this guy has invented. And the beauty of it is I'm sort of like doing all my, you know, new age nuance and holographic stuff, but here I am right in the middle of good old what I did. You know, back 30 years ago, this is what I did when I started Paradigm. Right back doing that, too. So I got double duty now, you know.
Speaking of things in the news, the tragic news on Mount Hood with hikers. I mean, they found the body of one. They think the other two may have gotten pushed off by 100-mile-an-hour winds down some cavern.
Yeah.
And they could be history. God forbid. Let's hope they're alive, but I don't know. Every day that goes by, it gets, a little more... grave.
It's a big thing in the news out here. And
why don't hikers, though, have little portable GPS devices?
That's the funny part. They have them. And I'm surprised these guys didn't have them. But what I think happened in the Mount Hood, when you have those, I'm not a mountain climber. I've been up in mountains a little bit. But what happens is with those severe winds, you go up through a pass, and then the wind starts blowing the snow around, and you come back, and the pass isn't there anymore. It becomes a sheer drop sort of thing, because it's covered over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that was part of the problem. I don't think they go into the, the micro version of what goes on, but I think that's part of it. But as far as carrying GPS, but they had the daylight up there and the sun, and they knew where they were. I mean, they had to know. I think they just couldn't get out because the terrain changed so much.
And it was very steep, very steep.
Yeah, right. And you can go on a mountain pass. It's like, and those guys know those passes, like a trail that's maybe 10 or 15 feet wide, but you get one big blast of snow down through there, and it's a sheer drop, so you're done with that one. You're not coming back through there until it blows off again, which you probably won't.
I will say a prayer for those that they have not found yet. Maybe they are alive, but who knows, huh?
Yeah, we'll see.
You get some information on the Middle East. I don't want to make this too newsy tonight, but it is a fascinating story.
Well,
why don't you tell us about it?
Because I got to qualify. Before I go into this, I just got to, because I've had, I make these funny statements, and a lot of other people come on these shows and make these kind of funny statements that don't really have a background. What I've done is that BBS Radio, where my internet show is, I've got a file system back there in the back pages, and you can go there, and I have all my government documents. Posted. I have my Lockheed Skunk Works when I worked over there, dismissal where I had to sign off on the top secret clearance that I had under penalty of like going to jail forever. And I put up my NASA credentials, and all that's over there. So if people want to challenge what I say, I'm about to say, and why I'm saying this, it's documented now. People can't hassle me anymore, and these are all real government documents. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
I had to do that because I got, you know, people think I'm too bizarre. Well, I am too bizarre, but I've had a hell of a life. So because I was an MK Ultra and because I did remote viewing back in two Iraq wars, I do have friends. And what is the common thing right now, what I've learned from my friends is that they have these NSA computers, which I don't have. And because I've done favors for them in consulting, they do favors for me. And so they chose me as a source to get into the Middle Eastern, you know, fronts, and I get briefed usually twice a month. For example, I had put up on my website all the information about the Boxer, the USS Eisenhower, going into the Persian Gulf a whole month before CNN.
Before anybody even got it, okay.
Exactly. That's what I do, and I do it all the time. Not every day, but the holidays. And the reason they were going in there is because they were making a show for the Iranians. And it's like, I got tons of knowledge. I can go all night on exactly the subject matter. But bottom line is, I asked them, I said, well, you know, I'm just, you know, doing this. And they said, why me? And they said, because they want a few channels out into the American public. It's sort of like, you know, a leak, but it's a legal leak. It's not illegal. It might be confidential and 10 minutes later not, and then I've got it. But the bottom line is I get it, and it goes out there. And they want to leak it through these, you know, these smaller Internet shows like I have versus CNN or MSNBC, because all right, these are what the terrorist networks go with. So the whole, you know, big system of MSNBC, CBS, and ABC are somewhat regulated by the feds, like major, and somewhat owned by, if you go into the board of directors and who owns what, you're going to see a lot of communication. So it's nothing more than a front for the terrorist news agencies, you know, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, and all of those groups, to just distract them from what's really going on. And they have been holding off on this, you know, nuking or getting, you know, one idea was to get Israel all stirred up when Hezbollah came out, you know, in over there and started sending all the missiles in. Well, then Syria started, you know, taking the Iranians were bringing all kinds of weapons and missiles in through Syria. Well, then we moved in with our forces. I think it was Task Force. God, I forget the numbers are so high now. And we brought down one of their planes, and in it was a cargo of tanks and this and that. So the Syrians got really, really wound up. And so we were going to go after Syria, but then the Iranians got really wound up. So now we were focusing on them, and there were big plans to actually take out some of these underground. They're talking bunker busters.
Sure.
Taking all this stuff out. And that's what this whole thing is going on right now is all about. They are zero tolerance for Iran. Right.
Well, what are we waiting so long then?
Man, I don't know. You know, it's like when the war ended in Iraq, there was all these weapons of mass destruction. They're all in the Basra Valley. They're all there. They're all buried. They're either buried under about 10 feet of dirt, and then under that is, you know, they got some thing across the top like terrain, but they're down there. A Task Force 20 was the one that went in and found out about that. We know all that stuff's there. There were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, but they all got moved at the beginning of the war. Why the Bush administration never brought that out, nobody in intelligence can figure that one out. That's the billion-dollar question.
So I mean, because they've taken a huge hit over weapons of mass destruction not being found.
Yeah, they have. And I have not been able to figure out why they took that hit. Because I knew about the exodus of them. We knew about the exodus. There's only one pass going into Syria through Baghdad and through Iraq. There's only one road that they normally use. That's the road that they, when I was remote viewing when I wasn't remote viewing there, what I was doing, I guess this, I don't know if it happened since I talked to you in the last show or not, but I had taught some of the intelligence people about what I call highway tracking. And what it's like, I learned the Indian, when I was young, I hung out with the Indians, and they taught me how to track, you know, an animal or something through the brush, and a branch is broken and the dirt's moved and something in nature. You got to have a vision of nature and then see the differentiations of the
or are you saying though, Fred, that the government's still using remote viewers?
Oh yeah. Matter of fact, I'm going to have Arthur Stubblebine come on my show if he hasn't been on yours. He was the major that got into the Army.
All right, let's talk about that when we come back, because everybody thought that they discontinued the program. That's fascinating, because if they're doing it, I don't think they're doing it with their older remote viewers, the people who started the program, back in a moment. And our very special guest tonight, Dr. Fred Bell. We've got all kinds of topics with Dr. Bell, including one about a very fascinating holographic projector. We'll talk with him about that in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. I can't wait later for you to tell us about this little motorcycle hologram story you've got for us, Fred.
I've actually gotten two of those stories that happened to me, and I had a lot of witnesses that just blew them away. But, yeah, we'll get back to what we're talking about.
Okay, you know, let's go. Remote viewing. Now, I thought the government ended the program.
No, let me explain this. Now, I do two things. I had taught some of their operatives a long time ago about this tracking, where you track. Are you going down the road? And you're looking for something, and you look at the license plate on a truck, and you see that, and you look at a road sign, and you look at something else, and you're in a mindset, you're actually in motion, and that's how we. I got a compliment from the government tracking when the war first started in Iraq over the second war that we had into Syria. A Task Force 20 went in there, having been trained by one of my friends that was trained by me, and. They caught the guy that owned a house that Uday and Qusay, the two sons of Saddam Hussein, were located in. And then they tortured him like they always do. And then that's where they found out they were, and that led to their execution. That was one aspect of it. And that's a combination of teaching them how to spontaneously read things and see things. And then the other thing is the actual remote viewing itself. Now, here's what's happened, okay? For a long time, you know, Russians were doing, you know, a lot of, you know, psychic, you know, things. The government looked at prana, you know, from the Hindus, which was, it's actually putting breath into the kundalini force in the body, which is a chi force, which is an etheric force that causes an actual physical raising of the cerebral spinal fluid up the spine. When that happens, it changes the electricity amounts of that are in the brain versus the entire body. It actually, it's like turning on a generator at high levels. Okay. Then they wanted to get into the quantum mechanism of how this is where the science got bulky. You know, they couldn't get the quantum mechanism going. But what happens is with the insurgence of nanotechnology, the quantum thing got going, and so suddenly they started to see the holography of it all, and they began to see. There was a scientist. His name was David Bohm. He was very famous. He was a protege of Einstein. There are a lot of really famous people that got into this. But what happens is they started looking at how dolphins and bats and fish and flies and birds, it all have this sensory holographic information. So having got into that, they found that dolphins and bats, you know, actually create holograms by transmitting acoustic reference and object waves that then reflected back to the mammal for the neural processing. That's where this started to get. Then they found out that holograms have a property that they call distributedness, and that distributedness means that if you have a fractional portion of something in a hologram, you have the whole thing, because every fraction contains the entire amount of the whole thing, which I'm probably sure you're aware of.
Oh yeah.
So what's happened now is that now taking that back and starting to look at, you know, remote viewing and going into the hologram of the universe. Not just the hologram of DNA or something of a dolphin, but into the universe, they're absolutely knowing how to get integrally through that hologram. They can now, you know, with the created environment, with certain kinds of devices, which I've been making now for about a year, which was insane. It took me 20. You know, I know you've had Sean Morton on the show.
He
knew about this work back in 1981. And so last year when it finally came out, he says, well, Fred, it only took you 30 years, but you finally got there, you know, to get something working. So what we did is we got this stuff going, and now some of the people that are using them are some pretty high-up people, big high-profile people that I can't name out of, you know, client, whatever, you know. But these things are really starting to be used now, and the results are scary. All I can say is scary. They're used in healing, in viewing. So in the government has come, you know, the factions that be have come a full circle now, because now they know they can take it to a deeper level. You know, you can go into one part of what you're looking for and find the whole. And the whole the secret of that is to get the body balance, a certain amount of body balancing and consciousness.
It's all resonance, isn't it?
Exactly, exactly. It's totally resonant, you know. And remote viewing before, you know, these guys weren't trained properly. They didn't, you know, it's what's in your body. You know, like your other show where you're talking about vegetarianism, it's so important. You got to be clear.
Right.
People are getting disciplined now. I'm getting disciplined, at least from what I used to be, and a lot of other people are. So it's taken us to a new level. And plus, we're older now. So you get your energy back like you're a teenager, and then you start focusing on things that are like sci-fi in the imagination, and the results are phenomenal. And
it's why is holography so important? I mean, how does it work?
Well, here we go. Okay, now you asked for it, okay? You remember that device that we talked about several shows called the nuclear receptor? And I've got to break this down basics.
And refresh us on that.
Yeah, okay, the nuclear receptor is a device that we make that has a little disc like a satellite dish. It has pyramids right side up and pyramids right side down in a Fibonacci pattern, which is the pattern of a flower of a rose or whatever. Okay, that's step one. Step two, if you muscle test someone, meaning that you have them extend or stand up straight, put their right arm out, and we push the arm down, that pushes puts pressure on a muscle called latissimus dorsi. You push that down, they attest a certain strength. If you put the pyramid on their head right side up, they test stronger, and if you put the pyramid on their head upside down, they test weaker. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a movement of the chi force. It's a changing of the electrical conduits in the central nervous system. It's either taking electricity out of the brain or putting it back or vice versa, and that's what it does. Okay? So out of that, we were able to find out and get that into what was known as called a scalar wave. A scalar wave has in the hologram now, has a dynamic. The dynamic is George Norrie got up tomorrow morning and decided to invent a brand new television set that nobody had, a three-dimensional TV set. So George Norrie goes out, and he gets a designer. He designs it. He puts the guy to work. He designs a sales force. He goes out and sells them, and he puts money in the bank. He hires people, and this idea grows, okay?
All right.
That's called a wave packet inside. It's a wave packet inside of a hologram. You follow me? Because it's a complete, even though you just came up with the idea tomorrow, if you're going to follow that through, it's completed by tomorrow night. But you don't know that, or maybe you do, but most people don't. So they go out with blind faith. They go out and pursue their ideal, their creation, what they want to do in life, change your life, make a better life, that kind of thing, with a complete thought form in mind, start to finish. And the people that don't do that never finish because they never completed their own personal hologram.
I agree with that.
Yeah, there you go. So you got religions. You've got Catholic Church. You've got Muslims. You've got Christians. Okay? All of these are bigger thought forms, bigger scalar waves. Scalar waves that, scalar waves that are in each religion. You know, in that person's imagination, it's ingrained into their DNA. Their DNA, if you look at them with the right equipment, you'll see that Christians are going to have a commonplace faction in their DNA and how it changes. Everybody's going to have something that relates to that thought form. And so those are called wave packets. You follow me? Wave packets. So the whole universe as we know it is consisting of everything that we believe to be our reality compartmentalized into wave packets. And what the beauty of scalar technology, and I know you've been into that very deep, and I know you know a lot about it, the scalar technology addressed the manipulation of the wave packets. It could be something that could, you know, in a DLOR device, healing, cause the body, remember the body heals itself, but heal it faster, like these radionic healing machines, or it could be a weapon, like these cold rays, these rays that...
like Tesla's death ray?
Yeah, like a death ray. Which is, I just say this much, it's in my book, Rays of Truth, about that, but it's an incomplete, if you take a hologram and you interrupt it, it creates a death ray. That's all I'm going to say about that. But that, it becomes a weapon. Remember when we were flying the SR-71, all of a sudden, we didn't fly the SR-71. Why? Because it was flying over Russia at a very high altitude, at a very fast speed, and the Russians used what's called a V-beam weapon on it and took about a 2-foot section off the starboard wing. So it got retired and the Aurora came out. So, I mean, So that this weaponry is it does in fact exist. As a matter of fact, and Kim Jong Il would be a good testament. If you notice, Kim Jong Il cannot get rockets off the ground. He gets them on a launching pad, and somehow or other they get them up in the air, and they always crash and
they
break
fizzle.
And blow up.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I had a friend of mine over at General Dynamics Convair one day. He basically is in charge of all satellite launches. And JPL, he's there too. I won't say his name. We called him up, and I started talking to him because I have on one of my websites, I have the plasma laser there, which is pretty good. It shoots down a 50 millimeter round going through the air, 100 millimeter round. It shoots it down. So I got him in his job, and he starts to tell me, oh, that's a coincidence. Well, he was a good friend of a friend of mine, the guy that actually just started the Homeland Security projects. So I got him to go outside. You know, he's in his office in the government there, and he had to go outside on his cell phone, and he admitted, well, I cannot confirm or deny anything. And I says, okay, look at this. This is Dr. Fred, 20 years in the government. I've had many clearances. You can go to the edge of this and tell me. And so he finally admitted, yeah, Kim Jong Il has problems, and we're the cause of them. That's about how it ended. So the technology's there.
So we're zapping them down as they go up?
You bet. And we got it dialed in.
Why don't we ever publicize that?
Come on. We're not going to publish that. I guarantee you, in future shows, mark my words, in the next year or 15 months, you're going to have some guy come out that's responsible for some of this stuff and come on the air and then give you the details. I can't do that, but I can just say the details are there, and it's for real. But then there's a bad side to that, too, and that's when we get into the SSRI reuptake drugs that are out there, which is another – that's the bad side of using this technology. So,
all right, let me ask you about some other things that are going on as well.
Yeah.
I have said on the program, Fred, that I do not believe the bird flu will be a pandemic. It's not going to wipe us out.
Absolutely not. Do you think we're going to hit the World Trade Center again because it doesn't exist and it didn't come down with explosives? Absolutely not, because what happens – with the HIN-5, I did a lot of research. I was the one that discovered that back when I was many years with the National Health Federation, which is now taking this Codex Demetrius, and that's a scary topic. And I can go way into that one because I'm on top of it. But anyway, what happens is, they created that. It's always been around. There's a certain amount of bacteria in humans. There's a certain amount of bacteria in animals, and it has very similar characteristics. And, it's just like what you feed the chicken. It's almost like the mad cow disease, okay? The mad cow disease was basically traced to some bad food full of chemicals that these cows ate, which created a situation that caused problems in humans when they actually absorbed the DNA of the animal that was infected.
Yep.
That's the way the chicken is. So if you're going to eat bad chickens, then you're probably going to have it. So what happened was, and I have this Dr. Ann Tracy was on one of my shows, and she's pretty brilliant. She's testified before the FDA, and I've had Mark Taylor on one of my shows. He's the first kid that gets shot by Eric Harris at Columbine. He was shot 12 times.
Right.
Yeah, and we got into some really interesting stuff, and this is what got my pharmaceutical chops up, because I had always said this. I had said this for years. I said that these vaccines and these SSRI, that's serotonin reuptake inhibitor drugs, are laced with three chemicals that, when ingested into the body, produce a very similarity to what's called phencyclidine. And the chemicals are cyclohexane, cyclohexene, and piperidine. These things together make angel dust, a mind control drug developed by the Army back in the early 60s.
A nice hallucinogenic, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And so, what are the side effects? Like Effexor, okay? Effexor has a side effect of homicidal ideation. Now, if you remember, when people got arrested on angel dust and really screwed up, they were out killing. They were unconscious because...
And they had superhuman strength, too,
yeah,
didn't they?
Exactly. Because, here's the biochemistry. You're sitting in a bar. You don't drink and drive. It's bad. You have one glass of wine or a shot. Yeah, you're still not going to drink and drive. You're going to have one more shot. Then you're going to go home because two shots is not going to put you at a .08. You'll probably be about a .04. So you have that second shot, and you sit there, and now the front part of the brain starts to get numb. And so, now suddenly the complete integrity that your brain had when you walked into this bar or this restaurant.
It's gone.
It's gone. And now you're going to have three or four shots, and then you go out and you get a DUI. Okay? Same thing happens with angel dust. What it does, it works on the same parts of the brain, but it doesn't give you the drunkenness, the loss of motor control. As a matter of fact, it gives you much more motor control.
Mm-hmm.
It speeds up the electrical content of the brain, but it also hits a resonant frequency. The resonant frequency is what we call a reptilian frequency. And that, when you get in touch with that, then it causes you to do things that you shouldn't do that are going to cause you to get arrested, and there's going to be legislation out there, and they're going to lose some more of your, America's going to lose some more, all of us are going to lose more freedoms because of
it kicks you into some primitive mode, huh?
Exactly, exactly. And the Phil Hartman case was based on that. Eric Harris was on that stuff. And some friends of mine like that, Dr. Ann Tracy, she testified before the FDA, this is what the effects are. And do the drug companies want you to know this? Absolutely not, because it's part of a bigger program. And so,
I'm not even sure the vaccines work anyway.
You know,
I've never had a flu shot. I don't tell people not to get them. I'm not a doctor, Fred. But all I know is I've never had one, and I don't remember
the number one ingredient from Roche Laboratories in Tamiflu is cyclohexane. Cyclohexane. Type it in on your computers, those of you listening, and then go look at all the warnings and look, and then type in phencyclidine. And look what's in it, and you can see that for yourself. Yeah, that's a fact. Then we have these new satellites that are sitting up there with this, you know, this reverse technology stuff that comes from people like Area 51 and maybe Roswell or wherever. And when the people are on the drugs, okay, now they're getting hit with this beamed technology down, and now they're programmed. This beats the heck out of implants. If you think a problem is implants, forget it. It's chemicals and complete, you know, implants would change your biochemistry by working on the minerals. They would metabolize the minerals in your body into a small substrate mass that would have a radio frequency transmitter. But they're beyond that now. Implants left in the 70s and 80s. That's old stuff.
What do you think of chemtrails?
Well, chemtrails are bromine. Bromine, you know, when I went into my chemistry class years ago in high school, there was a bottle. Is a big brown bottle. Inside that was another bottle. And the chemistry teacher, Mr. Self, I remember his name, he says, this is the baddest stuff on the planet. This stuff is so bad, we got to have it in two sealed flasks. It's called bromine, and it arrests the central nervous system, causing heart attacks, immune system failure, liver failure, kidney failure, cancers of all sorts. Okay?
You think that's what's being sprayed on us?
Yep. And along Malathion was earlier. You know how all that started? It started by accident.
And why, though? Why are they doing it, Fred?
There's a thing called the Global 2000 report that I helped put together. It was put together during the Carter administration. It came out during the Reagan administration. It was called, and you can look this up on the Internet, the Global 2000 report. You look up there. It was put together by the United States government, 19 agencies here in our government, 44 foreign agencies and governments, you know, and it all said one thing. By the year 2013 to 2020, there could be as high as 10 billion people on this planet. It can't support the life. There has to be an eradication.
Mm-hmm.
Then you look at IG Farben, you know, who made all the death camps, all the chemicals like Zycon B gas, financed by Rockefeller at that time. You know, at the end of the war,
they're beginning to sound like Len Horowitz now.
Well, Len Horowitz was one of my students before I went to Yale.
You're kidding me.
No. I was doing this one. I'm the one that told him that AIDS was chemically created, and he went out and proved me wrong. Guess what? He agrees with me now.
Yeah, he does. Stay with us, Fred. I want to pick up the chemtrail story when we come right back at the top of the hour. Our guest is Dr. Fred Bell. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.